Panda Talks has adult themes and uses adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
It's really weird. Okay, because here's my phone, right? It's right here, and it's playing
Oh, excuse me.
Rain
Yes.
and Thunder, because my client really likes the sound of thunderstorms, so that's the ambiance I have. And I just mentioned, I point out my pharmacist shirt, and I said, I feel like a dork in this, but I don't have a good, like, professional-looking shirt that doesn't stain easily. This is, I got it in aesthetic school, so it's like doesn't stain. I've gone through so many shirts that get stained with oil. This is the only one I can wear and I look like a dork. And she mentions the scrubs she wears. And I said, oh, I don't like scrubs because they my range of motion, you know? I can't do a full strokes with my elbow because I get caught off by the scrubs. And she's like, no, you gotta try these ones. Just mentions it, okay? And then her massage is done. She goes upstairs to shower or whatever. And I change the sheets, go to massage her husband, and I'm changing it from thunderstorm to just general spa music. And the ad on YouTube is for scrubs.
Of course it is.
And people are like, no, your phone's not listening to you. And for scrubs, like, I've never searched anything scrubs. That is the first time, like, long story short, I tried on her scrubs and they were, well, she gave me a medium and I said, oh, these are not gonna fit me. I am a large
You're like, I
woman.
am at least an extra medium.
Yeah, I'm a large woman. And they fit. And I was like, ooh, that's a self-esteem boost. They fit. But they're quite nice scrubs. The ones I am getting advertisements for are not her brand, so the FBI in my phone's not that good.
Well, I mean, it's not working for me. I keep saying boobies, and all I get is not.
I have something to say on that, but first, welcome to Panda Talks.
I'm Panda.
I'm Brady. And
Don't do that too much. That joke's probably not even funny anymore.
have you seen it's the new Two Girls One Cup.
What?
The new two Trout for Clout or the fishing fit video? You've not seen this on YouTube or TikTok.
Wait, are we the same two girls, one cup?
No, I said it's the new Two Girls One Cup. You know how Two Girls One Cup was like the oh, this
Yeah,
is disgusting. Don't look it up.
yeah.
I think it's called Trout for Clout. I'm not sure, but I've seen it all over, or things that allude to it all over my TikTok. You've not heard of this?
I have negative.
Well, I will be sending you some stuff because did you watch? Do you want to admit this on here? You don't have to.
I never watched Two Girls, One
I
Cup.
never watched it either. I was too scared. So this Trout for Clout thing, I don't know. I thought it was just people having sex while fishing because that's a thing. You know, girl goes fishing with you and it's code for sex or something. But everyone's like making a big deal about it. Like it's the most absolutely, it's the new Two Girls One Cup. So I'm very curious. And this is not, I mean, we're here to talk about a wholesome book. And this is not a wholesome topic.
Well, where would you find this?
I don't freaking know. Where did you find Two Girls One Cup? Did you just
No, it
Google it or
was.
go to Pornhub?
No, it was its own website.
Okay, so would it be its own website? I don't
I
know.
don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how to look up. I don't know how to look up porn. I don't.
Well, I never watched Two Girls, One Cup because I wasn't into vomit.
Or poop.
Well.
Okay.
Sorry.
We are here
I
to
couldn't help
talk
it.
about the wholesome book, a wholesome child's book. It's young adult. I think it's young adult. Our daughter
Oh my
kind
gosh.
of. Brady is now playing on YouTube. If you would like to check him out, go to Attack This on YouTube. I will not be commenting on his gameplay now because that's probably annoying for you.
Yeah.
But he does more funny things when we're on the podcast than he does on YouTube. I'm going to say that right now. Maybe you don't, but we can't talk about it, so it makes it funnier. I don't know. But I, as promised, Brady read, we finished Howl's Moving Castle. Brady only slept through one chapter, but he still seems pretty caught up and like he knew what was going on. So we're here to review that book. And I absolutely loved this book. I thought it was so good. Like, obsessed with it. 5 out of 5 stars. Love, love, love. I don't think I really went over it in the book dump when I mentioned it, because I think that's when we brought up, oh, maybe Brady will read it. But so yeah. Brady,
sorry.
Excuse you. Waiting on you.
Well, I don't know what you paused it in the middle of my thought, so I don't know what's happening.
Well, because you wiggled.
So who cares? Nobody cares that I wiggle.
I care.
Oh my gosh. Okay, what was I talking about then?
Howl's Moving Castle. What did you think of the book? And what your thoughts?
Do you want me to just go straight into like a pros and cons type?
I don't freaking care. How do you want this episode, this stuff we should have said before?
So
do you want to talk about the synopsis first and then get into our ratings, even though I totally love it? Or do you want to just, what do you want to do?
So
you seem to have an agenda.
I really don't. I didn't know what to expect going in. I don't think we really listened to many people talk about it beforehand. Like, I found out, I mean, we've watched it a million times and it always says based on the novel by this, you know.
We should have looked up her name.
It's something Wynn. It's got Wynn in it. That's all I remember. I'll look it up. But yeah, I was like, I'd remember seeing like what it is, and but it's one of those things where you're like, how close is it to, oh my gosh, Diana Wynne Jones is her name. Because it's kind of like, that's what most people go to, is they're like, okay, how close is it to the source material? Like, sorry, I'm going back to the movie, I guess. I should have said that. How close is this to the source material? And does it matter? So we watched Howl's Moving Castle, and long time ago. I don't even know.
I think we watched it when we were first married. So
yeah. Oh, yeah, because we bought a Studio Ghibli collection.
And we watched every single up-to-date Studio Ghibli movie.
Yeah, up to the point that we bought it. And I think I'd seen bits and pieces of it beforehand, but
I think I had seen it before, because I had mentioned that my mom worked with a girl that was younger than her, older than me, so like in between our ages.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 20, yeah, so 10 years older than me, 10 years younger than my mom. Weird to think about. But she was into anime. Like, I know, I think my mom told her in concern that Amanda's watching this weird shit. And then turned out that girl was into anime. So she introduced me to a lot of the anime I've watched. And she introduced me to the Ghibli films. So I had seen Ponyo, and she described it as Japanese Little Mermaid. And I'm pretty sure she introduced me to Howl's Moving Castle. And I had seen it once. And she described it as the Japanese Beauty and the Beast. Which, kind of.
Yeah, I could see where she's getting that from.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had watched it, and then we're like, it's hard for me because I'm one of those people, like, I grew up hating people that were always like, would always be like, oh, the book is so much better and blah, blah, blah. Like, that used to piss me off. I don't know why, because I guess because I'm just an angry elf.
Yeah.
But so that would bug me that people would do that.
Do you need a minute?
No, I'll be fine.
I think you're gonna.
I guess I'm just not allowed to do that. Sorry. I'm talking about a video game. But it's like, when I started getting into books, I would kind of do the same thing, but it was also, it kind of,
it's took hard a, not to compare.
Well, it took a turn for me when I was watching World War Z. Sorry, I was like, zombie movie. World War Z, because I read the book World War Z, and then later watched the movie, because I bought the book I bought the book when the movie had been announced, and I'd heard about the movie several times, so I was just kind of like, oh well, I'm gonna freaking bone up on this. And we were at Walmart, and it was like based on this, you know, this upcoming movie. And so I bought it and read it, and
wouldn't it be the I other devoured way around? It.
The movie, the book.
Yeah, wouldn't the book, the movie be based off the book?
Yeah, sorry. I think I thought that's what I said. So
you can redo your quote, because I love that quote.
I didn't read it. I devoured it. I sat down and I just blew through it, and I loved it, and it was like,
it was a really good book.
So good. And then I was watching the trailer for the movie. Well, we don't really watch trailers. I saw like a little glimpse of it. This might have been before.
Yeah, I think we were in Cedar. It was after Justice League. I think Justice League was the straw that broke the camel's back.
It was Batman vs. Superman. I went with McCade and his wife. And I remember being so pissed off because literally everything fancy that happens in the book, or in the movie happened in the trailer. And I was like, what the heck? Like, this is stupid. Why would you freaking show me literally everything? Like, I had no surprises. And so I stopped watching trailers. But then watching that, I was just like, I don't think this follows the book. I mean, I was just kind of figuring out, how are they going to do this? Because the book is so expansive, extensive, whatever. And I just, like, thought, how are they going to do this? How would they, you know, make this movie, whatever? And then I watched it, and it literally wasn't anything like the book, but it was still a really good movie, standing alone.
Yes.
And so that was the one that kind of changed it for me, where I'm like, okay, so you can have the book, you can have the movie, and like, which is better, you know? Because then I've notoriously said on this podcast that the movie Jaws is far superior to the book. And I will freaking die on that mountain. I will fight anybody who wants to argue with me about it. That being said, it's like watching, or I guess reading this book, it was hard to separate from the movie. Because that was what I had known. I had seen the movie so many times, and I love the movie. Like, to me, it's a nearly perfect movie. But reading the book, I'm like, okay, I'm trying not to be too overly, picky and whatever. And I don't want to, like, oh, well, I think the movie did this better. I think the movie did this better. I think the book did this better, whatever. I just tried to sit there and listen to it. And spoilers, I guess. We're going to talk about the book in the entirety and different parts. One part that I didn't like and still don't really like is the when they come to our world. Like, because there's most of the time they're in a, what's the place called?
Ingren.
I
believe it's called Ingren. Did you want to grab the book and double check me on that pronunciation? No, it's on the first page.
It's got a different name. It's close to England, but it's not. And then
ING.
Ingrid or something?
Ingrid. Yeah. It's something like Ingrid. Anyway.
So anyways. Yeah. So they go. There's one part where they go and come to our world. And then they do a bunch of stuff here. And then they go back to their own universe. And I don't know. To me, that was the part where I'm like, it's interesting. Like, it's funny. It's always funny listening to people talk about, like, hey, like, from the perspective of an old timer, like, what's that funny thing in your hand, you know, talking about like a cell phone or, you know, a tablet or something. And so it's kind of like that. Like, it was funny in a sense of like, oh yeah, it's funny to things that we think are completely normal to somebody that was born like 200 years ago. This would be like witchcraft.
Okay, so I don't know if this is going to, one note on that. I think, and the only context clues I have to go off of this is just there's a Q&A between the author and fans at the very end of that book, and I kind of read some of the questions. I didn't bother reading them to you or our daughter because I didn't, like, it. The story was over, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this book is just another story that is our furnace.
I feel like you say that every time.
I do say it every time.
They're probably well aware.
Well, if it's a new listener,
yeah, yeah,
it's not a ghost. Don't worry. Anyway.
Anyways.
I just going off the Q&A, I think, and I, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, educate, don't humiliate, be polite. It's Ingrid's, like, her own land, like, in her series of books. Like, she writes a ton of books. I think Ingrid, like, a lot of stories take place there, and I think this is just one small part that happens there. Now, whether Wizard Hal or anything comes to play in those other books, I can't tell you. But just that Q&A, I got the sense of, I think she writes a lot of books that are unrelated but in the same universe.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps or makes it worse that it's just a different dimension than ours. Because maybe she explores that more in other...
Yeah.
In other, well, series. But if that sways your opinion on that at all.
Not really.
Okay.
No, the only thing, like... Because I was fine with it being, like, in its own dimension. Like, I 100% support that. Like, all the way. I just thought it was weird how they're like, okay, we're going to go in and it... It adds stuff to the story, but not enough to make me think that that needed to happen. You know, like, it adds a character that ends up being important later on in the book. But I'm like, this character could have been in the other place. Like, not... I'm trying not to make, like... Because this part didn't ruin the book for me at all. It just, by the time we got to the end and it was finished, I looked at it and I was just like, you know what? Like, I felt like that didn't need to be there. I'm not the author, so maybe she's like, I loved it. I loved it, like, putting that there. I really wanted to do it. Like, even if it didn't add to the story 100%, like, it was still nice to have it there. And I was like, okay, well, I respect your thoughts. But for me, I'm like, I wouldn't, if that part wasn't there, I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I can't, like, I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like I needed something else. And at the end, I'm like, if somebody came out with a book of this and it wasn't there, I'd feel indifferent either way. I don't know, that one goes on my cons list, not in a sense of, like, it takes away from the book. To me, it just kind of, like, I'm kind of a bitch on certain things where it's like, it does this affect the story in a way that it needs to? Like, is this a plot point? And maybe it was just like, she just threw it in there just to throw it in there. Like, oh, this is fun, whatever. And it wasn't necessarily meant to, like, move the plot. It was just like, okay, this is a fun chapter. This is a filler episode on a
TV show. Well, he talks about going back to Wales quite often throughout the book, after they go there initially, which I think if I had to choose my con for the book, it's almost like they set up, like, oh, he's originally from a different dimension, and that's a secret. He doesn't share that with anyone, but then once you go there for the first time, it's like, well, it's not a secret anymore, and, like, things like that just keep happening. Like, I feel like they're like, oh, this is a secret. But then once you expose that secret, it's like, well, it's not a secret. Well, I mean, obviously it's not a secret anymore. But, like, I just feel like you're from another dimension. You don't share it with people. And then once they know, instead of just, like, I don't know, maybe what I'm saying doesn't make sense. But you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like they didn't, the characters themselves didn't really understand. It was a different dimension that they didn't understand. They were in Wales. Yet he keeps bringing it up. And he's like, I was on the rugby team, but you didn't know that. But they're probably like, what the hell's rugby? Like, what are you talking about? Like, but he just brings it up so casually. You know?
Mm-hmm.
this is not, so let's, we're moving backwards just a bit. But let's just give out a little layout. So for those who have not seen Hal's Moving Castle, it is about a young girl, Sophie, who gets cursed. And here's where it differs. In the book, she sets out to seek her fortune. Whereas in the movie, they don't really clarify what she's doing. She's kind of running away because she can't stay put because of her curse. I don't think it's too spoiling to say, she gets turned into an old lady. So she sets out, finds this infamous wizard, Hal, who is infamous for stealing young girls' hearts and eating their souls. And along the way, she meets some characters. She meets a fire demon who she agrees to break his contract with Hal. And then there's a war going on, but Hal's a coward. I think that pretty much they just have adventures based off of that. I think that's pretty much sums it up, as they try to break their curses and contracts. And
is there a war in the book? I don't remember there being a war in the book.
Well, the prince is missing, which is same with the book and the...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, maybe there's not a war in the book, but yeah, there is... I thought the
prince just went missing, and then he's like, you need to find my brother. Prince.
Yeah. So, okay. War in the movie, but both cases, the prince is missing. So, and then just adventures follow. So that's what the book's about, if anyone's confused. We should have brought that up first, but we don't play by anyone's rules. Yeah, we don't here. Care. We're not professional.
We're not worried about what you think.
Brady's not. I'm sensitive. Be nice.
But yeah, it's hard to kind of go and be like, okay, well, this is good from the book, this is good from the movie. But they each have their own, like, to me, they felt different. You know, like, they didn't feel like, because sometimes you're like, oh, man, they're so good, they stuck to the source material. And she did a really good job setting up the book. And Miyazaki did really good at doing the movie. But it wasn't like, I didn't feel like neither one could exist without the other. I feel like they were each good standalone things. And it's like...
Oh, absolutely.
The movie, if you read the book without watching the movie, you know, probably a lot of people have done that. But if you watch the movie and then read the book, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Like, it was different in a sense of, like, in the movie, I guess, I don't know, like... I felt like in the book, it's really subtle as far as like the love story and all that stuff. Love story, all of, like, I don't even know what you'd call it. Her being in the house, like, it's all, it kind of sneaks up on you, because I feel like in the movie, you kind of get a sense of, like, she's falling in love with him, she's doing this, she's doing that. But then when you're reading the book, it's like you don't really realize until, like, later that...
I had the exact same thought. Because in the movie, you get the sense that Hal knows about her curse very early on. And that he's doing all these kind gestures that you don't know, okay, is he just being polite or is he in love? But you get that sense. Absolutely, I agree. Whereas in the book, he is just so mean to Sophie, and Sophie's just so ornery with him. And then you don't know until much later that he knows about the curse and he's been trying to fix it. And then at the very end, very last chapter, he comes forward and just says, like, I thought you were beautiful the first time I met you. And, like, they fall in love in that moment, in the last chapter, where, you know, so I had that exact same, where it's like the love story, though subtle in the book, was much more, you saw it coming more in the book, whereas it was subtle in the movie, but you saw it coming more than in the book. In the book, it almost felt like it felt very last minute. Sophie didn't even know, like, you kind of can get the jealousy from her when he's, like, courting other girls.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just terribly mean to her, says mean things to her all the time. And, like, I don't think it really hits you until she's intimidated by another woman and being mean to her. And then she starts comparing herself to the other woman, saying that even when I was a young girl,
yeah,
I wasn't as beautiful as she was. You know, like, that's when you really get that sense of, oh, she's in love with him.
Yeah.
So, no, I had the same thought as you. Like, 1,000%.
Like, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, I don't look at it and I go, you know, I prefer it to be, I see the love story coming a mile away. But it's like, I don't know. I thought it was nice, you know, in the book. Like, that they're always, like, they fight like a married couple. And then eventually they, you know, fall in love, whatever. And you're like, okay, it's cute. Like, they were always, not always in love, but they're always, like, at least, like, they fought like a married couple, even though they weren't married. And it wasn't like they were a couple. They just fought like Sophie would do her thing and Hal would do his thing. And neither one of them wanted to budge an inch. But I think as far as, like, pros, I'm going to go into pros. Like, that might
be... Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have more cons than I
cut you off? No, I think that might be my only con.
Was it just you didn't like when they went to Wales?
Yeah, that part.
And like, then...
some of the parts that I didn't... Like, it sucks for me because I don't... Like, I don't understand them, so I don't want to be like... But I don't like to be that guy because I'm notoriously the guy that's like... I love all movies, even if, like, well, not all movies, but, like, it takes a lot to make me, like, frustrated about a movie. Like, I'm like, why are you so mad? It's just a movie. Just enjoy it and blah, blah, blah. And then I'll be reading a book, and then I'm like, oh, this is frustrating me. This is stupid. Like, one of the things that really, it really doesn't matter in the scheme of things. Like, we talked about it when we were reading the book, is in the book she has... two sisters, and it's fine. Like, in the movie, she has one sister, and I was like, I don't know why there's two sisters. Like, I don't know what the point of this is. And then later on, I'm like, okay, well, it's like the movie where the one character is definitely a lot more of a player than the other one. Like, I'm like, oh, well, why do they have two sisters? Now I got to fight up their time. Who's going to do what, whatever. But then after a little bit in the book, you never really hear about the other sister. Like, they mention her, but it's like she's not involved in the story anymore. Like, she's gone. She's doing her own thing. And so that one, I was like, okay, I don't.
Honestly, kind of both of them. Because in the film, you hear about Letty. And you meet her for less than 5 minutes. That her only plot point is that Sophie is going to the bakery to visit her sister, and then she visits with her sister and then leaves, and you kind of get the sense of, like, oh, Letty's the beautiful popular one, where Sophie's kind of the plain Jane. And then she
brings up
Howl.
Howl plus the shop. They have a hat shop.
Yes.
She is taken care of.
She kind of brings up that Sophie does need to live her own life. Whereas in the book, and the book starts off that it is a terrible curse to be the oldest of three sisters, because that means you will live a very dull, uneventful life. And you'll have bad luck if you ever seek your fortune. So she has three sisters in the book, and without giving too much away, yes, she does go to see Letty at the bakery, and other than that, like, Michael in the book, who is Markle from the movie, Markle in the movie is like a little kid, and Michael in the book is 15 years old, and he's in love with Letty at Cersei's baking, pastry shop, what do they call it, bakery, Cersei's bakery, he's in love with her. And, like, so the most you hear from her is just that Michael just sneaks off to see her. And then Hal wants to move because the Witch of the Waste is after him. And Michael's nervous that he'll never see Letty again. So that's what influences him to find a building for rent and market shipping so he can stay close to Letty. And, like, so, like, she still kind of plays a part in the book, but honestly, for the most part, like, you can see why the movie itself had cut out both sisters, because they weren't necessarily, like, that big an mm-hmm. influence in the book. I mean, I thought they were. I remember when I first started reading it to you, you were very pissed about the two sister thing, and I'm like, well, it does come back. And it's true. A lot of what happens in the book does influence Sophie and her motivations between, like, trying to leave the castle, deciding to stay. Between her two sisters, she's equally, like, she's not involved, but they're constantly on her mind in the book. But for the most part, yeah, they're not really big main characters, and you can see why they were cut out of Miyazaki's film.
Mm-hmm. Like, they kept Letty in just to, I don't know, just because.
Well, she had to leave the shop to go see Hal.
Yeah.
So she had to go visit Letty.
And, yeah, it talks about her beautiful sister, and then she's got, like, low self-esteem, whatever, and it kind of leads into it. But, I guess that part, to me, would kind of be a con. And then, I guess in the next part, we can get into the pros.
I don't know what you're talking about in the next segment. It is one continuous flow now. I don't do a break in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore. I mean, maybe I'll go back to it, but I figured I might as well just do the ad, because I'm checking my algorithm. People are skipping it anyway, so I don't know. Maybe I'll just sneak it in. So maybe it'll be at the end. Maybe it'll be right now. You'll never know until you hear it, so you don't skip it. Anyway, let's go over your pro list. It sounds like hopefully your pros outweigh your cons, since you only have two, maybe three main cons.
Yeah. So just things from the book that I thought were better than the movie. I liked that there wasn't a war. Like, I understood the whole sense of the war. But in the movie, it's like, you can't get away from it. And so it's like, oh, they're trying to live their lives. And then it's always like, yeah, but the war. And I'm just like, ah.
It's too relatable. Like, we need escapism. We don't want to talk about,
like,
the war.
Because it'll bring it up in the book how, like, Sophie keeps bringing up Prince Justin. Like, oh, are you going to search for the prince? And, like, she'll bring it up and then it'll change the subject. But it doesn't feel like as pushy. I did like how it kind of went more into, so let's say this is, I mean, I guess we're spoilers, so here's more spoilers. I liked how Sophie could do magic. Like, it made more sense. Like, it's hard reading the book. My biggest problem with the movie that I have always had is I have never been able to understand why Sophie turned back to normal. Like, yes, yeah, she had gray hair. But it, like, I never understood why all of a sudden at the end she's like, oh, I'm young Sophie, but I have gray hair now. Like, I never understood that. Like, is it a confidence thing, or is it that she just loves herself now? And because she loves herself, she's young. And, like, every time she gets down on herself, is she going to turn into old Sophie? Or is the curse just broken now? Whatever. So I never understood that. And then in the book, it kind of goes into, like, well, she can do magic. And spoilers. I guess I can quit saying spoilers because I've already said it. They kill the bad guy. And, like, after they kill the bad guy, she turns back to normal. So I'm like, I don't know if she turns back to normal because they killed the bad guy, or if because she finally has figured out that she can do certain magic stuff. And then she doesn't really use it on herself. So I'm just going to say it's because they killed the bad guy.
You know what? I never put that together. I should have. That makes a lot of sense. But I thought it was more because she just kind of learned that she was doing magic, because it wasn't until the very end that she really realized that, Kate, this wizard told me this is the magic I do, so I'm going to do it and I'm going to believe it. And it wasn't until the end of the book that she was actually, because Hal him, I don't want to spoil it because I want these book clubs. Well, no, I wanted the book club to be like, hey, if you read it, let's discuss it. So yes, spoilers ahead. Put it in the description so we can stop saying it. Take a drink every time we say spoilers. Sorry. But like, because in my mind, I thought it was because, so she's an old lady. She gets cursed to be an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
Hal admits to her, I have tried to break this curse, but you like being an old lady. So you are stuck as an old lady because you believe you're an old lady. And Sophie's magic is that she talks life into things. She talks life into a stick, which ends up being a very powerful weapon that the Witch of the Waste, the bad guy, ends up fearing. Like, she talks life into a scarecrow. She talks life into clothes. She talks life into hats. And, like, at the beginning of the book, she sells hats. So she talks life into them, and she sells them, and
yeah. They
bring people whatever omen she's placed on them, you know? So, like, in the end, I thought it was because Hal had said to her, you like being an old lady. So you keep telling yourself you're an old lady. You're talking life into yourself. You're making yourself an old lady by saying things like, when you're old, you appreciate things more. As an old woman, I look at my stepmother and realize, you know, all the flaws I saw in her, I realize that she's just young and she's still young and wants to live her life, you know. But what you said actually makes sense. It makes me feel like a dumbass because I'm over here like, thought I heard a kid. I'm over here thinking, oh, she just realized that she was making herself an old woman and then just kind of cut it out, which makes sense. And that's why I'm like, oh, then it correlates with the movie. That's why she finally turns back to young, because she finally like has the confidence and stops viewing herself as an old woman and actually views herself as someone like helpful and good and worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially in the movie, there's really no defeat of the... I mean, there's a defeat of the Witch of the Waste, but it's not in line with the book.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Now I'm rethinking everything. So at first I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense with the book or the movie. But now I'm like... I gotta rethink some things. Go on with your... Sorry to interrupt.
So I did like that in the movie or in the book, that she has her own magic and can do magic, and she kind of figures it out, and it's like, that's fun. Because in the other one, you're like, oh, she's just kind of there. Like, she's there, but she changes their lives for good. But it's just kind of her just being her as a person. And you're like, okay, that's good. But I like in this one how she like actually can... I guess she wasn't really helpless, but you know what I mean. So that's one of my positives. The other one is I think it's a lot funnier how in the book they... Because in the movie they gloss over it, but in the book... Howell is always talking about how the bugs are his friends, because like Sophie moves into the place to be a cleaning lady, and in the movie he's just like, don't get carried away. But in the book he's like, don't kill the spiders, they're my friends. Like, don't kill the bugs, they do stuff and whatever. And you're like, okay. So I just think it's funny because they keep bringing it up. Like, you'll just be sitting there and he's like, don't touch the spiders, don't do it. And you're just like, well, but like, are you going to know or whatever? Like, I don't know. Maybe he would know.
Bugs better run before I cut your head off.
Yeah. And I didn't like, in the movie, I'm not a big fan of... What are you doing?
Go on.
I didn't like in the movie how there's weird relationships. Not saying there's not weird relationships in the book, but every time I watch it, I feel more and more like, what's her name? Madame Solomon is in love with Howell, and she wants to be with Howell. Because at the very end... I
didn't get that at all.
At the very end, she's looking through her crystal ball, talking to her dog that's with Howell, watching Howell. And she goes, well, Howell went and found the love of his life. You little traitor. And I'm just like, so wait, because she wanted Howell. Like, she wanted him.
I thought she was talking to the dog, because the dog was now part of Howell's family.
Yeah, she is. But, like, just the way that she says Howell went and found his true love. I'm like, so is she? Because she was really mad that he left. Like, she was mad that he's, like, gone. You know? Like, it won't help her. So, I don't know. That one kind of threw me off. But then when you're reading the book, and it's like, all of these people are all different. There's the prince.
The prince and Wizard Solomon are two people in one in the book. And Madame Solomon in the movie is actually Mrs. Pensimon in the book. Like,
yeah, and then they have his, like, what the Wizard Solomon.
Yeah.
Is just, like, another wizard.
Yeah.
And then Prince Justin. And the prince is, like, the king's brother. And so the king is, like, there's no war. And he's just, like, hey, my brother went missing. Will you find my brother? And that's, like, in the movie, the prince goes missing, which starts the war. And then the war is a never-present character in the movie. But in the book, it's just like, no, the king just wants his brother back. He's like, I haven't seen my brother. I just want to know where he is. But I enjoyed it, like, more. I enjoyed that they were kind of their own people. They're all doing their own thing. And it wasn't like, I didn't feel like anybody was a burden. Like, I really wanted to know, like, what happened to because the wizard is presumed dead. And they, like, have a funeral and everything, and then whatever. And the Witch of the Waste in the book is a lot more intimidating. Like, the Witch of the Waste in the movie is more of an annoyance to me. Like, she's just kind of a pain in the ass. She's not, like, yes, she has powers. And it talks about, like, she can, like, do bad things to people. But that's, like, the extent of it. Like, there's nothing, like... She's more of an annoyance. She just kind of gets in the way because she loves Howell. And whatever.
Especially the end.
Yeah, like the whole...
the worst part of the movie.
Yeah, that's the part that always pisses me off in the movie. And so in the book, how she is literally the villain. She's the villain of it. Like in...
You're actually scared of her in the book. Like, she's a force to be reckoned with. And like Brady said, she's very much an annoyance in the movie. You're just like, oh, this bitch again, you know. Yeah. But she's not a threat, whereas in the book there are fights, there's threats, and you're actually scared. Yeah, when she shows her face, or like, she's after Hal. Like, the in the movie, Hal says the Witch of the Waste is trying to find my castle, and you're just like, oh
yeah,
okay. But in the book, they keep bringing up that she's trying to find me, and then it's like, oh well, are they gonna be okay? Are they gonna make it out alive? Because
yeah, it's like in the movie, the bad guy's more like the king and Madame Solomon, because they're like trying to make it so Howell can't live his life the way he wants to. He's got to go and serve the king and blah, blah, blah. But since that's not there, it's like, no, she is legit the villain. She's a bad guy, and she like takes people and does weird experiments to them and, you know, stuff like that. And you're like, okay, I get that 100%. Like, she is the villain, which I feel like that's the way it should be. Like, she puts the curse on Sophie and all that. Like, it's like she's the villain. And so I appreciated that in the book, how they actually made her the villain instead of, like, sorry, she's a nuisance. She's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, you're more annoyed than anything. Like, you're not like, oh my gosh, this freaking bitch again. Like, she comes to ruin the scene, you know, whatever. But that's my other plus. It's like, she's an actual threat. She's a bad guy. She doesn't feel like an annoyance there. And a lot of the characters in the book are more I don't think there's really anybody in the book that shows up and I'm just like, oh my gosh, can we get less of this person? Whereas in the movie, that's kind of how the Witch of the Waste turned into. Like, as when she was a bad guy, you're like, oh, she's fine. And then as a grandma, she's like annoying. But yeah, so I don't know. That's the characters in the book, I feel, are a lot more fleshed out, and there's not really anybody that's just super annoying. But
how do you feel about Michael Markle? That does difference.
I don't know. Like, it's hard for me because my one thing that I've always hated with any type of media is I hate when you have to throw in a relationship that doesn't matter. And I respect that he has a crush on, or that him and Letty are a couple. And I'm like, okay. And the one thing I hate more than anything is love triangles. So I'm like, crap. So is he going to be in love with Letty? And then Howell's in love with Letty. And then they're going to be like, I freaking hate love triangles. And you know this. Like, I watch like shows.
You love anime harems. Don't bullshit me. Well, you love anime harems.
I like when all the characters are going after one person, but it's all like, whatever, fine. But I hate when it's like, it's all just stress. Like, oh, this person's going to show up and ruin this relationship. And then you have to stress about them getting back to normal. Like, if it's just like, oh, may the best person win, I'm like, oh, that's totally fine. But if it's like, oh, hey, you're going to give this girl a hug, and then this other girl's going to show up and see that, and then she's going to go and screw up the whole freaking universe. Like, that pisses me off. I don't like this.
Yeah, you were really pissed in Auron High, but I think Auron High is still one of your favorites. You liked Auron
High. It was really good. I'd watch it again. Like, it's a show that I could just watch for fun. But yeah. So I didn't really care for that bit. I'm not saying like it ruined it for me. Like, I just thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Nothing crazy.
Okay, so let's get final verdict on Howl's Moving Castle. What are your ratings? All around final thoughts, things like that.
It's terrible. No, it's good. I really enjoyed it. I'm not gonna like, I don't know. I'm not gonna probably have anything too special to say about it. I'm just gonna say I really enjoyed the movie, and I really enjoyed the book. And I don't mean like if you enjoy one, you're going to enjoy the other, or if you hate one, you're going to hate the other. But, as far as I'm concerned, great book. I would just read this book just as a normal, whatever. I don't feel like it has to be like, well, if you're really into Studio Ghibli or anime or whatever, read this book, because the book's not an anime. It's just a book. Yeah. You know, there's no Japanese anything. But yeah, it's not gonna change your life. It's just a good book to sit down and read and have a good time and just have fun, I guess.
My final thoughts on it is I absolutely loved it. Love, 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 loved it. I know I already said that, but it's one of those books that I feel like you can't compare it to the movie. It's its own separate thing. It's, you know, the book and the movie, like, they're both so good equally in their own ways. Mm-hmm. I do love how there was a little bit more context to the story. Obviously, you can't fit everything into an hour movie. Hour and a half? How long is that movie?
I would say it's probably closer to 2 hours. Because the other day we watched it right before I had to go to work and it was pushing it.
So it's, obviously you can't fit everything in the book. And, you know, you feel like you should know that going into every movie that's based off a book. But like I said, this really, it's, if you try to compare the two, it's going to be frustrating. But to look at them as their own separate things, I mean, Miyazaki is just the most amazing storyteller, hands down. The best storyteller by far. He has such, like, even with his movies that we didn't care for, we had to admit the art style was amazing and the storytelling was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my final verdict, is that it's, I don't like one over the other. Obviously, I read the book for a second time. I would reread it again. We bought the book, the physical cut, for those who don't know. I listen to an audiobook, and then if I love it, I will buy the physical copy. We actually did start off with the physical copy, and I do not regret that one bit. It is a book I would be happy to reread over and over again. It is amazing. It is probably, I've never made a top favorite books. I don't know if I could, but that is definitely up there with, like, I love this book. It was, I can't say enough good about it. So
I'm going to say this. This doesn't really have anything effect on the book or whatever, but some people might care and some people might not, but to me, I felt like the book gave off the same vibe as the movie. Like, sometimes you're, like, reading a book and watching a movie, and they're, like, nothing. They feel completely different. Like, they don't feel like the same thing. But with this one and the book, I'm like, the book feels like the movie. So, I don't know if that's a pro or a con for you, but it's, like, to me, it's, you know, I enjoy it because I did love the movie. I love the way the movie felt. And then they're like, hey, here's a book. And it feels the same. It feels familiar. Like, if you like the movie, as soon as you start reading the book, it already feels familiar.
I will say, to those who have not either read or seen the movie, read the book or seen the movie, if you're in the camp of you haven't done either, I kind of said I wish I would have started with the book just to see how expansive it went. I said that to Brady upon my first reading, but honestly, looking back now, I don't think it would make a difference whether I read the book first or saw the movie first. Like, I think either way, I think, like I said, if as long as you're not comparing the two, I think you're going to be fine. They're they're both good. I can't say enough of it, enough good about it. So, read. Definitely recommend that you read
or listen. Like, I don't know who does it on Audible, because we haven't listened to it on Audible, but at least I haven't. I don't think we have it on Audible, do we?
No. I have Kiki's delivery service in our wish list, but no. Like I said, we started with the physical copy on this one. But Brady, are you ready to do our Mad Libs for tonight?
Not quite.
Okay.
I'm not ready.
Well, I need you to do whatever the hell it is you need to do to get ready in a happy, joyful mood, because we need to make up for the travesty that was the One Piece Mad Libs that I was so proud of and so excited for and so happy for, and you just I felt like the world's biggest dumbass because you just were not having it.
Don't feel bad.
I do feel bad. You were not having it. You're just like, this is the most boring shit.
I didn't say any of that.
You didn't say any of that, but how about, can you think, why is my keypad not on? Okay, give me a noun. Sorry, before we begin. I have chosen, these are online Mad Libs because I've yet to buy a physical copy. I almost sent a picture of McCade. Almost sent a picture to McCade. I found Mad Libs Valentine's cards at Walmart. I thought that would have been fun. I probably would have only sent one to McCade, so why buy a box of, what, 25? When I was just going to send one out to McCade, because he's the only one who'd freaking get it. But, because Howl's Moving Castle is kind of low-key a love story, I figured we're going to do love letters. So I have love letters 2 and love letters 3, because I like to participate. Brady, you're going to be doing love letter 2 on the free website.
Okay.
So give me a noun.
A witch.
Oh gosh, I can't tonight. Give me an adjective.
Sweaty.
I don't know why. Don't know why we always get to the third Mad Libs and I'm like, I have a story to tell. But one time in high school, the drill team, they did their little dance for school assembly or something or other. And they were supposed to, why do drill teams always have like stupid names? Like it can't just be like high school name drill team. It's like they got like the Lachey's or the Lachumptons or whatever. I think the Payson High School drill team was like the Lay Setters or something. But anyways, it said it was like, I'm going to call them the Lay Setters because that's what I'm thinking of, even though it's something else. But they're all dressed like little baby dolls. And it was supposed to say the Lay Setters Sweeties. Like at the end, they held up signs that said, whatever, drill team Sweeties. But they spelled it wrong and it was the Lay Setters Sweaties.
That's hot.
It's freaking hilarious, but not as hilarious as when Salem Hills High opened up and all the cheerleaders were there as you entered the, it was a big deal the first year that high school opened up.
Yeah.
And all the high school or cheerleaders were lining the halls as you walked in for the first time. They're supposed to be chanting Salem, but they were chanting S-L-E-M, S-L-E-M. And I was like, yeah, Sleem High School. Like, freaking dumbasses. Okay, do you remember this? Or is this just like a memory I have?
And then I'm the asshole that goes S-L-E-M, spells Slem.
Slem. Oh, I said Sleem.
Not but Sleem, because that would be S-L-E-E-M.
Okay, well.
Or S-L-E-M-E.
I guess that's what I get for making fun of our daughter for trying to read the word cook. But not understanding the double O sound quite yet, so she read it as cock. Which, good for her. Like, she's really good, you know, for learning to read, but.
Yeah, well, I don't think.
All right. Well, anyways, Slem High School. Slem Hells High School. Give me a noun. Slem?
A butt. Cock and balls.
Place?
Salem.
And I will be sure to spell it S-A-L-E-M instead of S-L-E-M. We're going to hit random word for adverb because we don't know what the hell an adverb is. Weepingly. Weep, wait, no. Weepy, weeply? W-E-E-P. Yeah, weeply.
Yeah.
All right. What the fuck? Weeply.
I always think I'm starting to understand adverbs and then they throw shit like that at me and I'm like,
what?
Never mind.
I don't know. Because to weep is a verb, so, but weep's also a, I don't know.
I don't know.
Verb ending in ed.
Farted.
Noun.
Boob.
Adjective.
Squishy.
Good adjective, good adjective. Color?
Pink.
Alright, give me a noun.
Anus.
Adjective?
Oh, smelly. Did I already do that one? I did sweaty.
Article of clothing. Plural.
Thongs.
you had that out of your mouth before you even let me finish. What's great about thongs is it could be like the Australian way and it could just be flip-flops.
No, I'm thinking panties.
We could turn on the thong song and destroy the place.
Tear it up.
Body part plurals. And you've already used anus and boob, so.
Balls.
Adjective.
Huge.
Okay, I have a question on this one. Because you always say huge in reference to our great and glorious leader, Donald Trump.
Former leader.
Well, okay, I thought about saying former leader, and I used to, but a lot of people think he's still president.
Oh, yeah.
So would it be funnier if I just didn't even say our former leader and just said our great and glorious, like, just kept it like nothing happened?
You could.
Which one's funnier?
I don't know.
Okay, so our great and glorious, you're referencing our great and glorious leader, John or Donald. Wow. You are referencing our great and glorious leader, Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So when I write the word, the adjective huge, do you want me to write huge or huge?
You can write huge, just in case.
Because that's what I have been doing. But I know you're referencing him, so I don't know if you want me to write it like he has said.
That's just how I've said it in the past. And it was because of how he says it.
Oh, so. Atlanta. All right, I rolled another random word for adverb, and it said pressuringly. So give me a liquid.
Pee.
Oh, hell. Body part?
Wiener.
Oh, brother.
It's all dirty, right?
Adjective?
Throbbing.
That is a great adjective. Give me another adjective.
Moist.
Liquid.
Mountain Dew.
Noun plural?
Hobos.
Food plural.
Burritos.
Color.
Gray.
Animal.
Frog.
Not dragon.
Oh, that's a good one.
Verb.
Verb is yell. Is that a verb?
All right, and the last one is an adverb. So roll for random. Misleadingly.
Ooh, that's what I was gonna say.
All right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Love letter 2. I don't know where 1 is. I did end up finding it, but it was short, short, short. So we went with 2.
Okay.
I lie awake all witch thinking of you, your sweaty smile, and our butts in the Salem. Weepily, I recall our meeting, how my heart farted with boob when I first saw you. How squishy you looked in the pink anus. You're patronizing me. And those 2 smelly thongs on your balls.
That's a good one.
There we go. We got a real laugh out of you. Not a condescending chuckle. I cherish every moment we were together and was huge when our date came to a close. Oh, there you go. I cherish every moment we were together and was huge when our date came to a close.
In my pants.
Condescending chuckle. I can't say how pressuringly I regret spilling pee on your wiener. You were throbbing about it. However, for which I am grateful, you are so beautiful when you are throbbing. You're moist most other times. Your eyes are like deep pools of Mountain Dew warmed in the moonlight.
Oh, that's like a real love letter.
Your cheeks are as rosy as hobos. Your lips are like succulent burritos. Mm. That is something you would say to me.
Yeah, I love burritos.
Your hair is gray like a frog on a summer's day. I can't wait to yell with you again. Write soon. Misleadingly, your friend.
Aww. So, that's so sweet.
Would you like to, may I do a Mad Libs? Would you like to write for me?
Sure. Does this tab work?
Yeah, tab works.
All right. Name of person in the room.
Brady.
All right. Noun.
Oh, gosh. Like, it's stupid because, like, throughout my day, I'm like, this would be a good this, this would be a good that, but now I can't think of any, so. A noun. Person, place, or thing. Let's do bottle.
Oh, hold on. This one doesn't have a thing on it, so.
What do you mean?
It is a superlative ending in EST.
A what?
Superlative.
What the F is that?
We're going to Google it real quick.
Should I pull up love letter?
List of superlatives.
So this is love letter number 3. Should I find love letter number 1? It was on page like 5 or something. Should we do that one instead?
What the hell? Superlative. Okay, hold on.
I can't believe we missed this in our Mad Libs episode.
Oh, so it's like, so this will go for everybody that's watching, listening. So there's an adjective, a comparative, and a superlative. So an adjective would be angry, a comparative would be angrier, and a superlative would be angriest. So superlative is an adjective, but in the highest form. So if you're going to say like moist, superlative of that would be the moistest, even though that doesn't count. So it'd be the most moist. Ooh, that's a good one. So superlative. So pick an adjective. And then it's got to be one that ends in EST. So like biggest, smallest, smelliest, fattest, wieneriest.
Okay. Hottest, I guess. Hottest. I don't know.
Whoops. What the hell did that happen? No. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Joe. I'm like, oh, shit. What did I do?
Hold did on. You just ruin everything?
No, I hit a button. H-O-T. I thought I hit backspace, but apparently I'm hitting something wrong. Hottest. Okay. Sorry. Noun.
Oh, let's do Dixie.
Dix. Why am I doing this? I have to capitalize it at the start, even though it doesn't matter. Body part.
We know how I am with body parts. What are you writing? Oh, you're just tapping the
keys. I'm just tapping it to make you nervous.
Yeah, it's not working. Let's do patella.
You're so boring with body parts.
Okay, sacrum.
That's even more boring.
That's your butt, basically.
Well, then say butt. Don't say sacrum. Fine. Nobody cares.
Fine. Anal cavity. Rectum. Let's do rectum.
Rectum. We all know that you're a master of body parts.
Well, I thought it would just be fun instead of saying the typical thing like elbow or boob.
How's this? Okay, when we go through it, I'll say sacrum and we'll see which is funnier, sacrum or rectum.
Just do rectum.
I know, just do rectum. I did, but verb ending in ing.
Thrusting.
Okay, a noun.
Let's do person, place, or thing. Would a fluffer be a noun or would a fluffer be a verb?
Fluff is a verb. So there's a verb.
But like the fluffers.
So fluffing would probably be the verb.
Okay, so noun, let's just do a...
No, you did noun, now you're on verb.
But you said it didn't count.
What do you mean I said it didn't count?
I shouldn't be doing this. I can't argue with you. You said a fluffer didn't count as a noun because it was a verb.
No, I put fluffer as the noun. I said I'm counting it.
Okay. Verb, suck.
Okay. Event.
An event. Oh, so like circus? Would that be an event? Or are you looking it. For more like
I have no idea. It just says
concert.
Event. Circus. Okay. I don't know how to spell circus, apparently.
Day
of the week.
Saturday.
Verb.
I should have done Friday, because that's when this podcast comes out. Verb would be lick.
Another verb.
Gosh damn it. Caress.
See, caress. Place.
Uranus. Hey, that works.
Uranus. Time span.
What, like an hour?
I have no freaking clue. It just says time span. Doesn't give an example.
All right, hour.
Hour. H-O-R-E. Verb.
H-O-R-E.
Yeah, hour.
What do you say, verb?
Yeah, verb.
Gosh, let's do, gyrate. We haven't done gyrate yet.
Oh, that's a Y, huh? Is it G-Y?
I thought it was G-I. I don't know.
No idea. All right. I know what it says.
You're supposed to be the smart one here.
Adverb. I've never written that.
Oh, freaking randomly roll for adverb because I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Warily.
Okay.
A name of person in the room.
Happiness bunny.
That's not a person. Don't give it life. Okay. All right.
Amanda.
Nobody wrote happiness. All right, happy. Go mad. Okay. You ready?
Yes.
It has come to my bottle. Oh, dear Brady. It has come to my bottle that you are the hottest girl boy in the Dixie. My rectum starts thrusting a fluffer every time you speak. I would like to suck if you want to go to the circus with me next Saturday. If you lick, please caress me at the Uranus in hour. I gyrate you and everything about you. Warily happy.
Happiness bunny.
To be honest, my rectum starts thrusting.
Fluffer.
It's funnier than my sacrum starts fluffing.
Oh, just leave it. Okay, since you're finally in a good mood.
Excuse me.
I've done you last. We're going to do the love letter, the first love letter. We're just, it's like really short. So rapid fire, adjective.
Stinky.
Noun.
Butt crack. Am I supposed to save those for body parts?
Up to you. Verb.
Thrust.
Verb ending in ing.
Farting.
Noun, plural.
Hookers.
Body part.
Anus.
Verb ending in ing.
Jacking. You know what I mean, right?
Verb ending in ed.
Climaxed.
Number?
69. Dang, this one's just working out for me.
Verb.
Finger.
You are my stinky love. You have me completely in your butt crack. I know and feel that I am to thrust anything fine and noble in the future. I shall do so only by farting at the hookers of your heart. I would like to go through life anus by anus with you, jacking you more and more until we climax to be 60.
That was a good one.
to be 69 beings together until the hour should come for us to finger.
Oh, that's sweet. That's so sweet.
All right, that's it. That's all I got for you. Got in a good mood at the end. I guess we'll stop doing Mad Libs, even though I love them. You just don't love to show emotion, I guess. I don't know. But
no, I like to. You just make me self-conscious because I laugh and you're like, that's a fake laugh. I'm like, it's a real laugh. That's just how I laugh.
It's not a real laugh when I had you literally crying the other week over the Harry Potter one?
I don't know.
One of these, you were straight up crying.
Well, some of them is so perfect. Like, what are you going to do?
We had some perfect ones on the Harry Potter one.
We had a perfect one on this one.
Yeah, but anyway, thank you so much for listening. Did you read a couple questions I have? I don't know where I'm going to leave these questions for, but did you read Howl's Moving Castle? Did you want to? What'd you think? Tell us your thoughts. Also, what do you think about the Mad Libs at the end? Should we keep it? Should we ditch it? I enjoy them. I hope you do too. But until next time, I've been Panda.
And I've been Brady.
And we can't wait to talk to you. I'll say again, because I already said next time.
And we love you.